Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. This is kind of a special occasion, so I'm joined by a couple of my absolute best friends in this industry, Pete Zayas and Coach Sveet, and oh, I guess Harrison is here too. So,
yeah.
All right, we'll start with Coach Pete. How's your weekend going? How are you doing?
I'm good, man. It's been a busy weekend trying to put the team together so we can crank out some content. So I'm excited about that.
I got it. He's alluding to something that is a legitimately exciting project. I'm not going to make any announcements for him because I don't want to do that. But I'm just telling you guys right now, keep an eye out for that. That's going to be great. And Harrison, how are you doing? How are you holding up? You ready for this?
I'm enjoying my last weekend of sleep.
I was warning Jen about this the other day. Like, you're not going to see me. Like, I'm sorry, babe.
Yeah, I'm not. I've decided that if you sleep enough during like the one actual off season month that you get, then it's like hibernation, like works for bears, where you just don't have to sleep the rest of the year. At least I think that's how that works.
Yeah, sure. We did some quick maths, and I think it checks out.
Yeah.
Today's show is number 500, and that's why I have Harrison, who's been here along for the ride for just about all of it, and Pete, who's really helped out over the last chapter or so. So that's what we're doing. Today's show is going to be a lot of fun. We're recording this at a time. Ethan Skolnick of wherever that he provides content said something about Jimmy Butler potentially big news coming, basically, and that would lead me to believe that maybe Jimmy Butler might be heading east. So in this first segment, we're recording this at a time where we don't necessarily know where he's going, but we're going to basically analyze the conference and the entire situation based on where he might wind up. And then segment two, we're going to talk about training camp and positional battles, and that's going to lead us into segment three. And in segment three, we're going to talk about our boldest takes regarding the Lakers. That's going to be fun. Harrison and I actually got to watch a bold take formulate in Pete's mind before the podcast. So that was a lot of fun. And then at the very end, I have some thoughts on number 500 and the path that we got here. You guys know where to find us. Today's show is brought to you by Vivid Seats. More on them heading into segment two. Let's jump on into Jimmy Butler here. Let's just say that by the time we are recording right now and people are listening to this either Sunday night or Monday morning, that Jimmy Butler is sent east somewhere. How does that change for you, Pete, the math of the Western Conference, where the Lakers stand in everything? Like, where does that change anything for you? I personally was already considering Minnesota out of it anyway because they were such an apocalypse already.
Yeah, they were already dysfunctional. So I'm going to start with my fan hat on before I put the analyst one on. I am loving the absolute combustion of the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were a team that I was annoyed at how overly hyped their core was a couple of years ago, and equally annoyed at, like, you know, the 31 win Timberwolves were the next big thing. And then the 35 win Lakers, like, how did you deserve LeBron? How did you this, you know, like, no one's good on the team, you know, just like, so watching them kind of implode, the whole Timberwolves thing has been great. In terms of as an analyst, I agreed with you that they were pretty primed to not be in the race just based on their dysfunction. But part of the problem, and who knows what he ends up going for, but it's really hard to make a trade under the circumstances that they're under. They are not going to get equal value for Jimmy Butler. And, you know, Glenn Taylor, the Minnesota owner, has put out an edict basically saying, heck, you can deal with me. And who knows what Thibodeau's future is and all of that. Like, it's completely blowing up. So, you know, maybe they get something for him, but I'm expecting people to be like, well, you know, Team X got Jimmy Butler for that.
Yeah. That's how that's going to play out. We're gonna look back on this and say, wait, he went for what? So for Harrison, let's play the other side of this coin. And if Butler stays in the West, whether it's to the Clippers, whether it's to, I don't even know what other Western team would maybe trade for him. I kind of feel for some reason, Phoenix keeps popping up in the back of my head.
Well, because they've been star thirsty for a while, and the one that keeps that would just blow everything up that I keep imagining is like, what if the Warriors did it? Like, what if every other team was like, we can't risk giving up assets for Jimmy Butler, and the Warriors were just like, here's Iguodala and like, I don't know, like a couple other contracts to make the math work.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not going to happen. But what if it did? Like, would anybody watch the I think the NBA, like, I think NBA Twitter, like, probably half of the people that you follow would just stop. They'd just go home and just be done with it. Just delete the app off their phone. It's over. But no, I think this. So the significance if he stays in the West, especially if it's with the Clippers, as I think kind of we're all expecting, if he does stay in the West.
If he does stay, yeah.
Yeah, if he does stay, is. I think the significance of that is that all of a sudden the Clippers have ostensibly a star. I don't know if Jimmy Butler is considered a star in like the mainstream consciousness that we discuss stars in as much as like, you know, obviously not as much as a guy like LeBron, but even in the sense of like going to sway a couple more people over to the Clippers bandwagon, like maybe a couple more people will check in on them this year. But I don't think very many casuals are swayed by Jimmy Butler. And I don't really even know how good of a recruiting chip he is now either, because like we're getting into the territory where we almost have to start asking, like, is this guy a locker room cancer?
Yeah.
And that's putting things strongly, but this is like two locker room, really three, because the Bulls were kind of overhauled and then it was like a whole nother locker room that he blew up. And then he blew up this new Minnesota one. And you know, like there's one, like maybe it's not all on him. Maybe he's really unlucky, but that's three situations where he's kind of came in and there's been some status quo change regarding Jimmy Butler. Either he kind of like outperformed his draft stock, or he's been declared the star of the team, or he has just been acquired to a team that had like this much vaunted young core, where we've seen like some personality clash. And there was even a thing in that Athletic report on how exactly all this went wrong, about how all the other Timberwolves were tired of hearing from Jimmy Butler about how hard he works.
Yeah.
So, you know, like, I guess playing
nobody with Kobe, likes that guy at the office. Nobody, well, like, I
playing with knockoff Kobe is not like what
not a single person in the office likes the person who tells you like how much they worked the night before.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, you actually, number one, you have to go do it. I think that was the reason that like Kobe didn't actually wear on guys, because they'd actually get to the gym at like 5 a.m. thinking that they were getting there early, and he's been there for 2 hours.
He didn't have to tell anybody, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. He was already
like,
doing.
He just did it with his actions. Like, Jimmy Butler's like out here like tweeting like about how hard he works and like telling the guys like, oh, you don't know what it takes to get to my star level, and like da, da, da. Like, yeah, I would hate that guy.
Yeah. It says something that like $200 million were on the table for Carl Anthony Towns, and he was like, yeah, I'm
I
probably
that yesterday. I'm like, how annoying, how much do you have to hate someone that somebody's like, here, I'll give you $200 million, and you're like, No, I want you to get rid of that guy first.
Yeah, I'm probably going to accept, but please get rid of that dude.
Get rid of him first. I got to think about it in this case.
I'm going to give – look, we're giving bold takes later. Here's my hot take early on in the show. Jimmy Butler is thoroughly overrated. Thoroughly
I'm gonna
overrated.
I'm going to isolate that clip when he signs with the Lakers this summer and just like
– thoroughly lead, like, underrated is what I'm saying he is. No, here's my concern with Jimmy Butler. I think he's fine. And yet because teams that he played on have overperformed, like in Chicago, for example, they overperformed and he got a ton of the credit for their overperformance, that we're looking at this guy like he uplifts all of these franchises. But like, Minnesota went to their first playoffs in a decade. That had a lot to do with Carl Anthony Towns. Like,
but when Butler was on the court, though, they were way better. Like, if you look at like the on off stuff, like Butler was the guy when he was hurt in the middle of the season, they turned to crap, and then they ended up clawing their way back once he came back. But like, Butler might be a bit of a nut, but that dude can play. I don't know. To me,
he's a good player. Yeah,
he's thoroughly, like, to me, he's very firmly planted in the fine category. And like, we are not good at defining fine players, right? Like, we are not good at, we think either superstar or they shouldn't be paid at all. My concern is like, I want nothing to do with his next contract.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair, right? There is we saw with Deng, like, people don't remember Luol Deng was a 2-time All-Star.
Yeah.
Isn't that like
crazy?
Luol Deng was only a year older than Jimmy Butler will be when he signs his next contract, when he signed with the Lakers. I brought this up when I think Anthony, you and I were discussing this.
Yeah.
Like, and he doesn't have quite the amount of mileage that Deng had, but the point still remains, yeah, right? And then when you stack the locker room stuff that you were talking about, Harrison, on top of that, and just to bring it back to the Lakers are shooting higher than that. Like, yeah, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out who's on the free agent market and is better than Jimmy Butler next year. But
if not the year after, the guys, either, by the
right,
way,
those are the dudes that the guys are going after. Right. There was news about that, right?
Yeah.
Like a guy who would be available the next year with Anthony Davis signing with Clutch. So yeah, like, if the Lakers wanted to make a move on Jimmy Butler, they would have done it. They've got their aims, just they're shooting a lot higher than that.
Yeah.
Yeah. They coincidentally, I'm sure this is completely coincidence, have the exact amount of max room that they need to sign KD.
It's crazy. It's wild. Yeah.
With Rob Pelinka out there saying that this is the place that players like LeBron want to play.
Can we just, all right, we have
info there, I'm sure.
We only have about a minute before I have to go to break here, but can we just kind of laugh a little bit at how angry NBA Twitter would be if the Lakers walked away in the next few years with a trio of LeBron, KD, and AD?
That'd be just glorious. And there's a path to it too, like where AD opts in 2020.
Oh.
Like Lakers signed KD in 2019. You'd have to trade Ingram for that, because in order to make the money work for AD,
I'd make that trade.
But
I saw a Lakers Reddit thread saying like it'll never happen. They'd have to give up Ingram, and like the first five comments were like, "Bye, bye,
BI." Yeah, I don't want to like.
Weren't talking about him at the press conference.
Anthony Davis,
like they're
right. Yeah.
Yeah,
Anthony Davis is what, 25, and he's in the best player in the NBA conversation at the very least. And so, you know, yeah, obviously, and if you that like that's the best front court in NBA history, if you're able to put that together. But we're way ahead of ourselves at this point.
That's what we do as Laker fans. All right, we're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we'll talk about the Lakers that are actually on the roster and the training camp that's ahead of us. But first, let's really quickly talk about Vivid Seats. They have gone out of their way. They wanted to be associated with the Locked On Podcast Network. So hop on to vividseats.com/app or find them in your app store. And for your first purchase of $200 or more, you get $20 off. Vivid Seats is great for local events. They are great for any kind of event that you want to go to. We have Rams games coming up. We have Lakers games coming up. The Dodgers are heading into the playoffs. There's a ton of stuff that you might want to buy tickets to. So again, head on over to vividseats.com/app. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and get $20 off of your purchases of $200 or more. Again, that's LOCKEDON to get $20 off your purchases of $200 or more. It's for all of the hottest tickets there. All of the tickets that you buy are fully guaranteed. So again, that's vividseats.com/app. Enter the promo code LOCKEDON to get $20 off your purchase of $200 or more. We're going to take another quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about positional battles that Pete and I alluded to last show, but we're going to get into the nitty-gritty here in a second. I've noticed my voice changes when I do those now. Like, I get into full-on... Anywho.
Libraried voice?
Yeah.
No, like, I was going to say, does Vivid Seats, do they sell tickets for the 2020 Lakers with Anthony Davis, Kevin Durant, and LeBron James on the team? Like, can I start buying those in advance? Like, this is the most Lakers podcast all time, just for the fact, like, this really is the Lockdown Lakers 500th Memorial episode, because we discuss all kinds of wild speculation storylines, like, for a full segment before we even touched on the current team.
Right. It's like, all right, so after we signed Durant, like, that's how our conversations start, right?
Yeah.
That's like given, right? Yeah.
How does Lonzo Ball fit with LeBron, Durant, and AD is what I'm wondering.
Video forthcoming of this imaginary story in which there is no picture.
All right, so let's start here. I think the positional battle that everybody is looking at right now, especially after what we saw from Josh Hart in Summer League, is at the shooting guard position. You have KCP coming in off of a much more solid season than I think he's given credit for. and you have Josh Hart coming off of a very solid rookie season. And my question is, I think KCP is far and away, I think, the favorite to start on day one. But Harrison, I'll ask you this first. Would it shock you if over the course of training camp you started to hear a little bit of buzz of, hey, Josh Hart's kind of like nipping at his heels here?
No, and I think that's for two reasons. I think, number one, because Josh Hart like played really well, and also KCP is not like the Lakers don't need KCP to sign LeBron anymore, so there's going to be like less preferential like free reign given to him there. And number two, because I think Josh Hart, I would actually argue, has a higher basketball IQ than KCP already, which isn't normally what you think of as like the younger player. But like, we've seen Luke tends to prefer the guys that he knows, like most coaches prefers the guys that he knows that he can get steady production from, know their roles. Like, maybe KCP comes in and kind of shows a little bit more awareness of that last year. But there were so many times last season where like KCP would, you know, he'd make these like baffling decisions that were like coming down in transition and taking a pull up three and stuff like that. But just, there were like a complete lack of awareness of like his role on the team and like specific skill set. And I think KCP is a good player. Outside of the month that he was incarcerated last year, he was actually really, really good for the Lakers.
Such a funny sentence.
So I think like, that may or may not have been intentional, but I think KCP, like you said, is being underrated by a lot of people because Josh Hart is the shiny new player and everybody wants him to be really good because he's like ostensibly a member of the young core. But I don't think it's crazy to think that there's a chance Josh Hart starts over him. But I still think even the basketball IQ deficiency aside, I think KCP is still probably the better player.
I want to frame it like this to you, Pete. I've been thinking a lot about this, and basically in the Lakers starting five, that shooting guard spot, you want somebody there who's not going to screw stuff up, right? And because of the decisions that sometimes KCP will make that Harrison alluded to, there's the tendency, there's the opportunity for him to screw things up more than you would like to have in that spot. And for that reason, I could see maybe the coaching staff leaning towards Hart. But at the end of the day, KCP is the better player right now. And it's tough to argue with that.
I'm curious who finishes games more than starts them.
Yeah.
Because you're talking about a stylistic difference too, in that what Luke has done over his first two seasons is play a small ball lineup, so you rarely have a conventional five finishing the game, and he's looking to switch everything. If you're looking to switch everything, the argument for Josh Hart over KCP becomes a lot stronger.
Yeah.
And I think that there's a decent chance that KCP starts, but Josh finishes. The other element of this is, you know, last year, so KCP, like Harrison said, can be unpredictable, and that can really drive a coach crazy. But last year, it was important to keep KCP happy, right? Considering what they wanted to do over the course of the summer, there's probably less pressure to keep KCP happy. Now there's
did a you strong just aggregate my better. Point?
I think I did. Yeah, I'm learning. I formulated
you gotta leave silver screen this,
and I just aggregated something that did not need to be aggregated. Like I'm like, it's when the father becomes the son. It's weird, like Freaky Friday thing going on.
The teacher becomes the master.
Right. Well,
no.
Something like that.
Yeah, so I forgot what I was saying.
Well, Josh Hart's going to close the game. Let's do this. Let's take another quick second here. We'll collect ourselves. Harrison threw everything out of whack by making himself the master. We're going to take another quick second here. Again, head over to vividseats.com/app or find them in your app store. Enter that promo code LOCKEDON for $20 off your purchases of $200 or more. We're going to take a quick second here, collect ourselves, and when we come back, we'll talk about KCP and Hart without Harrison screwing everything up.
All Okay, so I don't know idioms, I think, is what we just learned there.
You're an idiot, is what we learned
like,
there.
The, what was great was like the pause from Anthony and I were as we processed it, and we're like, eh, we're like no.
All right, so let's figure this out again. Josh Hart is, I think Josh Hart is capable of reaching KCP's level. But early on in the year, I think KCP is and during training camp, I think he's going to separate himself from Hart in this respect. My question is, like, I hope at some point over the course of training camp, we start hearing about those guys playing together and some of the havoc that they can wreak on the defensive end, KCP switching up in rotations, Hart switching down in rotations, getting out and running, those kinds of things. Pete, how do you feel about that fit?
On the defensive end, them playing together?
Yeah, well, defensive and then obviously leading into offensive end.
Yeah, I think the Lakers have enough shot creators at other positions to where you could play the two of them together. Like, I think Josh has gotten better with his handle and all that, but I still don't think he's going to be a shot creator type. I think he's, you know, or at least he's able to get his own shot better than shots for others. So I do think that they could play together because you've got guys who can handle the rock at other positions and they can just be finishers and, you know, and defend. Yeah, I actually do think they could play together. That's one of the really fascinating things about this team is how many multi-position guys does this team have? Like, I don't think KCP is really a multi-position guy, but Josh is a 2-3. And heck, even Palenka was saying, we don't even talk like that anymore about players. Like, we're just trying to represent skill sets.
And KCP can guard multiple positions, I think, is the important thing. He can guard twos and ones.
I don't know about threes, and especially not fours.
Yeah, not three. But what I meant was, like, as far as them both playing in the backcourt, like, he guarded tougher ones last year sometimes for Lonzo.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of Lonzo, he's coming into training camp here a little banged up. He's not fully ready, although it wouldn't shock me if at media day we get some kind of announcement that, hey, Lonzo's ready. Like, the Lakers have an affinity for the moment, and it wouldn't surprise me if at some point over the course of media day they said, like, yeah, he's ready to go. He's fully ready. We're all playing together 5-on-5 now. But if Lonzo doesn't quite come back ready, and if that affinity for the moment doesn't actually come to fruition, Harrison, do you think there's a chance here? Like, are we looking at a situation here where, and this is something that has been bandied about a ton on social media, do you think, is there a scenario here where Lonzo loses his starting spot to Rondo to start the year?
Should I just give my bold take now then?
No. Yeah, you may as well go for it.
Okay, I mean, my bold take was that Lonzo might lose. I think Lonzo could lose his. There's a better chance of Lonzo losing his starting spot than I think people are talking about, because, you know, like, we're all talking about it from the perspective of Lonzo's long-term value to the Lakers and his longer upside and how he means more to them long-term. Like, and which I agree with, and that he's the better player right now if healthy. And, like, I agree with all of those things. I just think that an entire summer without playing, like, serious basketball is not nothing. And especially if he misses some time during training camp, like, I think there's a chance that Rondo just starts to gel with guys. And we've seen how Luke can make decisions and, like, start and rotational decisions that really have a knack for pissing off the Lakers fan base sometimes. And he doesn't really care about that. Mm-hmm. And so I think if Lonzo comes in and he's not 100% and he's coming off of a summer where he just had knee surgery, he hasn't played a whole lot, and, like, Rondo just looks a little bit better and has, like, the advantage of being a veteran and is maybe like, you know, he's already started to gel with LeBron and some of the other starters, then I think there's a better chance than people are giving it that, like, Lonzo ends up losing the starting gig to start.
I think if that happens, it's going to be temporary.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think you lose some of what value you get out of Rondo when he plays next to LeBron. Now, obviously, they're going to play together and there are cool things that you can do out of that, but Rondo is similar to LeBron in that he is the guy you give the ball to and let everything revolve around him as he distributes. And LeBron obviously has the, you know, 27, 28 per game, point per game scorer element that Rondo does not have. But they're similar in that you give them the ball and then they run the offense around them.
Good things happen.
Right. Lonzo is not that type of guy in a half court set. Like Lonzo, I've always argued, is more of an off ball player in a half court set. So he fits fine next to Rondo or LeBron, at least Rondo, if he can shoot. That's obviously problematic if both of those guys are clanking. But so I don't know if you heard, but Rondo was saying that during the pickup games, he's refusing to be on LeBron's team.
Yeah, he wants to be. Yep.
Yeah.
I think that's notable. And I think that, I think that's something that the plan, at the very least, now injuries can derail that, is definitely for Lonzo to be in that first unit with LeBron. And then Rondo is the guy running teams off of the court with second unit guys next to him that could be starting for other teams.
Yep. I completely agree with those points. And I would add to that, though, that like Rondo saying that he doesn't want to be on LeBron's team adds to this whole culture of competition that Pelinka and Magic have been talking a lot about. That
yeah, Rondo, they framed it more in that sense of like he didn't want to stack the pickup teams, basically.
Yeah. So and you know, we'll see. I think what it comes down to for me at the beginning of the offseason, I was basically thinking that Lonzo needs to start for future priority, right? But given how important I think it is that the Lakers not just make the playoffs but make it comfortably and really set a tone for this LeBron James era moving forward, you play the best guy. And if it's Lonzo because he earned it, then great. But if it's Rondo because he earned it or because Lonzo wasn't fully healthy, and especially if Lonzo isn't fully healthy, like you need to prepare the team for the situation where Lonzo isn't fully healthy because of what we saw last year. I think that's what really takes a priority here. Any other we've already heard Harrison's bold take. I'm going to go ahead and head on over to Pete's bold take, which is regarding the small forward positional battle and Brandon Ingram and Kyle Kuzma. So Pete, do your thing.
That was not my bold take. My bold take is that Kuzma is going to start. I don't think he starts ahead of Ingram. And I don't even think
LeBron's coming off.
Wow. Before the show, you guys, I want to go on the record and say that before the show, Pete was sitting here just trashing Brandon Ingram.
You are so full of shit. I get enough crap about him as it is. Yeah, no, that did not happen.
He was calling him Brandon In and Out Groom because he's so overrated. That was a thing that he kept saying.
The exact words were, he's like, if KD couldn't shoot or do anything else well.
Lost Pete.
It was mean.
So, all right. So you're saying Kyle Kuzma might start, but not necessarily over Brandon Ingram, which would mean you have a front court of LeBron, Kuzma, and Ingram.
You could. I'm not entirely convinced that you couldn't start Kuz in that spot that we were talking about with Hart and KCP. We're going for hot takes, bold takes here,
no,
right?
Go for it.
Kuz can come off of a screen all right, and he is a better perimeter defender than he is in if they want to, like we said, we've got these very big agile lineups with a lot of length. Like, could a lineup of Lonzo, Kuzma, Ingram, LeBron, and a five, say JaVale, function pretty well together? I think that lineup could do pretty well. And you've got you've got a big small ball team, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. I mean, do I think that's what's going to happen? No, but we keep hearing all of these reports like Kuzma dominates for a week at practice in the open runs right before LeBron gets there. But like, how often do we hear like this guy is dominating, especially a young guy in the open runs? And then all of these things like Cuff's the legend, right? LeBron's guy talking about Kuzma's about to be a star. I've heard that from other people around the organization too. They love Kyle Kuzma. Why do we assume that he's coming off of the bench just because he did last year?
And I mean, if he started a shooting guard, it would allow him to further fulfill his path of and goal of becoming Kobe. So
while working for Clutch Sports, right? Like that's going to be a thing soon. I like the idea of a big small ball lineup. That'd be fun. That'd be a cool amalgamation of modern versus old school, modern, get out there, switch a ton. That'd be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, there's no value in going small, right? You go small to get more skilled. That's the whole point. Like, so and if quicker. You can keep those, right, exactly. So if you can keep those, that quickness and that skill without having little guys running around, that's even better.
Sabrina actually wrote about, I think, I don't know if it was this exact lineup, but it was like another weirdo kind of like big small ball type thing with like Kuzma and a bunch of the taller guys. And, you know, she brought up the point that, you know, everybody thinks it's going to work until, you know, like the Lakers did this and it's a different thing, but it was a couple years ago with they played Bynum, Pau, Odom, Meta, Kobe, and like Derek Fisher, which was like going too big.
Mm-hmm.
Or no. Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, but like they weren't as skilled, right? Like Meta,
yeah. There wasn't as much quickness in shooting on shooting. That, like on the court,
right? Or ball handling and passing, and yeah, sets were not being represented in that lineup.
Yeah, I think my bold take is that, and it's not really a bold take, but I think we start the Kuzma for Sixth Man of the Year early on, like that campaign starts. Almost right when training camp starts.
Wait, is that your actual bold take? Did you have the least bold take out of the three of them?
Hey, man, it's training camp for me, too.
But I was expecting like Lonzo traded like by opening day or something like that. Right. Like,
I mean, if we really want to go bold, I think we...
Okay, here we go. We've goaded him into it.
If yeah, we really want to go bold, I would be really nervous if we don't start hearing more about Ingram. Like if we really want to go bold, if you guys want me to put my tinfoil hat on, I'm saying we got to hear a lot about Ingram early on in this process because we didn't hear hardly anything about him at the press conference with Pelinka and Magic, and he is not Magic's guy. I cannot exaggerate. I cannot point that out enough that he is not a guy that Magic drafted. Now, Magic inherited him and took him under his wing and seems really high on him. And the Lakers organization has just about every turn talked about how high they are on him and his work ethic. But if we don't hear a lot about Ingram over the course of this training camp, it's going to make me start to wonder, like, okay, what's going on? Because we saw this happen already with Julius Randle.
To be fair, they weren't directly asked about him, although I was going to ask about him and I wasn't called upon. So, but like they weren't directly asked about him.
You got, you got looked off from like media relations like they were Kobe. You're like, I'm open. Hey, Paul.
I was waiting.
I was sitting right next to you. You're like, Kobe.
But anyway, like, so I was going to ask about Ingram and, you know, they would have talked about Ingram then, but so this is really, if you think about it, this is, you know, I'm not saying that I could have saved us from this bold take, but I could have saved us from it. And you know, like Ingram hasn't, they were mostly talking about guys in pickup runs and Ingram hasn't been around the facility. He chose to go home. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it just means that you're not going to be in front of the team brass.
Those reasons go out the window when training camp starts. And if we don't start hearing about Ingram,
unless he doesn't report to training camp, and then that's even bigger.
He's going to Levy on Bell the Lakers.
Yeah. What are you guys doing right now? Is this what it was like before I was here?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I figured.
I mean, you disagree? Like you're saying
no. I'm just talking like you're like that crap escalated to like, well, what if he doesn't report to training camp? What the hell are you doing?
That was on Harrison, but
that's true. I'm sorry, Anthony.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, I don't know. Training camp's about to start, right? And so Ingram has been back in town. I don't know. One thing to consider is that his family's from North Carolina, and he was in some of the open runs about 2 weeks ago or so. And we haven't seen him in the most recent ones. But, I mean, he could be handling business with the hurricane that just hit back, making sure his family's okay and all that.
Make me feel like an asshole.
Yeah, no, you guys are huge assholes. So that's why I'm trying to make you feel like that. And
no, that's very possible. I mean, he's definitely tried to do, like, a ton of charity work for Kinston in the past, and so you know like that is very much a possibility, and like given that it's Ingram, I wouldn't be surprised if it was also something that was kept very quiet.
You guys were asking for a bold take, you goaded me into this, and now you're crapping on my bold
we
take.
Did it to trap you.
I just want
there's the no record weed show. This was all you, Harrison. You got a frog in your pocket in your giraffe pouch or whatever giraffes have to carry their young ones. I was not involved in this.
All right. that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast, because I'm not even sure giraffes have pockets to
check. I know they don't. I'm sure.
We can start the next hot Twitter debate. How would giraffes wear pants? Like, would it be on all four, like the dog one?
In the next time the three of us get together, we're going to watch Planet Earth 2, in which the pride of lions like go after and try to hunt a giraffe. It's actually really fun.
Okay, well, that's mean.
Hey, you don't know how it ends.
Oh, well, now you do, because I just said it.
I want to take a quick second here, though, because this is episode number 500, and it's for clear reason that I brought these two guys on with me for this occasion. Hey, obviously, Harrison, we've been doing this from even before we started keeping track with Locked On. This is probably episode, what do you think, like 600, 700 or so?
Yeah, it's got to be 700 or 800.
Yeah,
because like, we did like a whole season and a half before this.
Yeah, so obviously Harrison had to be here for this. And then Pete, since you have kind of burst onto the scene with Lakers Twitter and with your content, you have always been super supportive of this stuff. And when I reached out to you to do, you know, 2 days a week of talking to me and my madness, you jumped right on board. So I just want to say to those of you listening, I cannot thank you guys enough. To those of you guys that I'm talking to right now, I cannot thank you guys enough. I'm going to have to stop talking because I'm going to get choked up. But this has been cool. It's been a really cool run. It's been a lot of fun. It's been a legitimate dream come true. So thanks, guys.
Oh yeah, I guess thanks, Anthony. I don't know. Yeah,
I thought that was a good place to start. It was very heartfelt.
Yeah, it was.
That's perfect.
I wasn't going to be able to top that, so I was just going to respectfully like let you lead into the outro music.
I was just hoping he'd cry.
I'm going to have to end this thing soon. But to those of you listening again, I cannot thank you guys enough. To those of you, to everybody who's given us our support, David Locke, the entire Locked On Network, all of our guests, going on down the list, even dating back to before we were doing this stuff. This has been a really cool ride. I can't wait to get underway with everything that's coming this next year. It's a legitimate dream come true. We get to work together. We get to give each other shit every single day on Slack. It's incredible. It's so much fun. Pete, you have your big project coming. Harrison, you have assembled the warriors of team blogs. Everybody listening, this is such a cool era of sports and Lakers specifically coverage. I'm just happy that there was a niche that kind of opened up that I can slide into. So have a great day, everybody. And when I talk to you guys next, we're going to have actual quotes from LeBron James wearing Lakers gear to talk about. That's going to be great. I'll talk to you guys then.